All right, thank you, Jane. Hi, everyone. I'm Erin Schaefer. I'm the GA over at the Women's Center. I'd like to welcome you to our Women on Wednesday series, Education, Advocacy, and Empowerment, celebrating 20 years. A few items before we get started. Please turn off any pagers or cell phones, and please remain in your seats until 12:50 as a courtesy to our speakers. Also, if you please fill out one of the orange evaluation sheets, we use this for future programming. Our session today is titled Performing the Vagina Monologues as a Means for Women's Empowerment. Over the past decade, hundreds of college campuses throughout the country have organized and hosted performances of the Vagina Monologues, a play written by Eve Ensler to celebrate women's sexuality and strength. In addition to raising public awareness and funds for victims of violence against women, these performances have profoundly affected St. Cloud State University women students who have performed in the Vagina Monologues. Our panelists and facilitators have all been in the Vagina Monologues for 3 years. Our facilitator today is Brianne Periton. Brianne is a junior majoring in communication studies and minoring in community psychology. Our panelists today are Catherine Biertness. Sorry, I hope I said that right.
You did.
All right, Drea Dunkel and Kat Salonek. Close enough, yeah. Catherine is completing her final semester of her BS in English while student teaching. Drea is a junior at St. Cloud State, and she's double majoring in biochemistry and biomedical sciences. And Kat is a senior here at St. Cloud State, double majoring in Spanish and Latin American studies. We are very grateful to have them here with us today. Please join the Women's Center in welcoming Catherine, Drea, Kat, and Brianne.
Thank you. I'd like to begin by telling everyone a little bit about what V-Day is. V-Day is a global movement to stop violence against women and girls. And every year they invite people in high schools, youth groups, colleges, or just in a community to present benefit productions of artistic works during V season, which is February 1st through April 30th. These events raise awareness about violence against women and girls and raise money for local beneficiaries that are working to end violence. So we're going to be performing the Vagina Monologues this weekend, Friday and Saturday. The Vagina Monologues is an award-winning play based on the V-Day founder, Eve Ensler. She did interviews with more than 200 women and then created these monologues. They celebrate women's sexuality and strength, and through the play and the liberation of the word vagina, countless women throughout the world have taken control of their bodies and their lives. And this is actually V-Day's 12th year, and they've given voice to experiences and feelings not previously exposed in public. So the first question I'd like to ask our panelists are, when and why did you decide to audition for and join the Vagina Monologues?
I guess I can take it away. So I joined the Vagina Monologues when I auditioned in, let's see, it would have been December of 2007, and I couldn't make the normal audition, so I was really nervous. I had to audition by myself in front of the directors. There was no... Oh, yeah, Brianna was also there, but we were kind of loners. And I knew that it was something I wanted to do because I'd been encouraged by Dr. Mumbi Mwangi from the Women's Center Department here at SCSU. And I know she thought I could do it and that it would really benefit me as a feminist, that I should probably go for it and trudge ahead. And I was really glad that I had ended up doing it, so I guess that was why.
I joined the same year as Kat did. I joined through going to the auditions and everything. The reasonings behind doing it is I've always looked for a voice. I've always wanted to have a voice, and I never knew how. And it's something that I struggled with in a lot of my relationships and in my life. And I broke up with my boyfriend from a really bad relationship, and I just decided that, you know, I was going to go for it. And one of my boyfriend's friends actually was in the monologues and was directing it that year, and she just really encouraged me to do it, and it was a way that I was able to, like, express myself, and so it just suited who I was and what I wanted to do and how I wanted to present myself.
I joined the cast the same year that all three of us did, in December 2007. And I heard about it through one of the co-directors at the time was my coworker and my friend, And she just hounded me about it for about 2 weeks. Even after the Vagina Monologues, like, regular auditions had already passed, she just was like, this is something you really need to do. I was like, oh, yeah, well, maybe, I don't know, I don't have a lot of time. But I went online and I looked at what V-Day organization was all about, and I read their mission statement, and I just knew that it was something I had to be a part of. I came from a background of a lot of sexual abuse and domestic violence, both from dating relationships and in the home, and I really felt like I needed to do it, not only to work through those things myself, but to also give a voice for all the women who were silenced in those same kind of situations. So,
Our next question is, what is your favorite vagina monologue? Please describe the monologue and why.
This was a hard one because they all speak to a different issue women face, whether it's gender violence, confronting sexuality, all these things, so I had to think about this one. I ended up choosing My Vagina is My Village. It is about Bosnian refugees who faced rape as a war tactic, and that was very much underplayed in the media, and they weren't allowed to speak and represent themselves properly. So I thought that this was one of the most powerful pieces for the vagina monologues because it gives voices to women who truly have been silenced, as do other pieces. But this one was also important to me because it shows the duality between the victim and the survivor and the past life that a victim has and how they have to confront that past life before they've been victimized and really make it mesh with what they've had to survive. And that's an extremely difficult thing to do as a woman who has survived violence, is to confront this life, this happiness that you have once experienced along with this horror, and try to survive that and really be able to be a part of yourself even after having suffered so much. So that's why I liked My Vagina is My Village.
Mine's the same one, which is kind of strange, but... My Vagina is My Village, I performed it last year, and I actually was, you know, approached probably 3 weeks before we were performing, saying, you know, somebody dropped out of the cast, we need you to perform this, and I was like, dang it, this is like the one piece that I don't know that I can do. The reason why is because I have gone through a lot of violence, and I've gone through, you know, rape and all of that stuff, and I've lived in many ways the same way as the woman in this piece has lived. You know, I'm able to be happy and happy and joyful and, you know, who I was before, but there's still a part of me that I struggle with because of what has happened. And so the reason why it's my favorite piece is because even though I've always struggled to find my voice, it really gave me a voice. And it gave me the knowledge and it gave me the ability to know that other people out there need that voice too, and that I can, you know, help other people with that piece. And so I think it's a really powerful thing.
My favorite monologue is actually a piece which most people cringe at. It's called I Was There in the Room, and I was lucky enough to perform it last year, and this year Drea is performing it. And the first time I heard it, I'll admit, like, the first year I was in the cast, like, I was just like, I don't want to listen to this one. I don't want to listen to this. Because if you haven't heard the piece, it's very graphic about the actual birth process. It's Eve Ensler's retelling of her grandchild's birth. And it was hard for me to kind of get that piece last year. But as I did it and I performed it, I realized what a miracle birth is, and not only that, but what a miracle womanhood is. It really made me appreciate how essential women are to humanity's survival, and how we take for granted all the time what a commodity women are in our societies, in the way that we treat women, just all over the world. So I think that that's why it's my favorite piece, because it made me realize just how important I was as a woman, and every single woman really is.
In what ways have performing in the Vagina Monologues changed you, your perspectives, opinions, or particular insights?
I guess I'd say one thing that the Vagina Monologues is able to offer to cast members as well as viewers is an education or a kind of a window to see people who have different socioeconomic challenges than you do yourself and really present those to you in a way that you're able to maybe empathize with or get a deeper understanding. So I guess that's how it's changed me, because I've been able to kind of gain more empathy, more passion for gender violence and preventing it. It's also given me an extreme amount of patience. One of the cast guidelines that our directors has set up is to meet the community where it's at. And sometimes the community isn't where the cast is at, and we'll be at a place to confront serious feminist issues that maybe St. Cloud community isn't willing to accept that they actually happen, whether it's an issue of rape or racism or other forms of oppression. And we have to confront these head on, but do it in a way so that the community can become educated as well. So that's definitely changed me, because I always thought, well, why wouldn't everyone want to jump on this? And whether it's for their personal or their ethical reasonings, they can't always agree with the things that Vagina Monologues teaches. So it's definitely taught me to, like, really think before I speak and have patience and really meet the community in that way.
I think the biggest way that it has changed me is I realize that it's much more than a personal thing. It's a global issue, and it's not just our culture, it's not just their culture, it's every culture, it's everywhere. It's not just one place, one time. It's all of the things that women struggle and all of the struggles that they've gone through, all of the, you know, advancements that they've made in this country. Well, yeah, they've been made in this country, but what about the women who aren't here? What about the women who don't have the same voice that we have here? It made me just think on a different scale than just, you know, looking in my backyard and thinking, well, it's okay here. It made me think about, you know, everything, everywhere, and kind of encompassing the idea that, you know, everybody needs to work together instead of fighting around each other. I mean, as in any organization, it's, you have to work together, like, especially with the Vagina Monologues. We need to be unified. Because if we don't have unity, then how are we supposed to, you know, show unity to the rest of our campus and to this area?
I think that the biggest thing that the Vagina Monologues have really done for me is it's helped me come to terms with the idea of sexuality and expressing sexuality. Because for a long time, I grew up with a mindset that sexuality was something that needed to be repressed and controlled. It was something that you didn't ever let out a hand. It was something to be ashamed of. It was more of a burden. But what the Vagina Monologues has really taught me, and through conversations with so many of the cast members, is that sexuality is really a gift. And you use it the way that makes sense to you, and you express it in a way that works for you, and that's true to who you are. I think that that's something that is really important for everybody to realize, and something that really is essential, I guess, in the development of who you are.
How has performing the Vagina Monologues empowered you?
I guess, again, to go back to community education, along with giving myself a voice and that sort of thing, it's empowered me by knowing I can be an active member of this community. By learning the best way to approach the community, by educating on the gender violence, and knowing that I've been able to empower other women to go after a performance and meet people after outside and have them say, wow, I didn't realize what women were facing. And I've had men say that to me, and I'm like, well, you probably still don't, but I'm glad you have a better clue now. And I'm glad that you were really, I've said, you know, I'm glad you were able to take something out of that and just the respect that people are able to glean for issues that maybe they haven't been confronted with before. It's pretty amazing. Like, it's really, like, forced me to embrace myself, whether it's through my sexuality or through my ability to educate the community. I don't know. I guess the Vagina Monologues has empowered me in about every area that I can think of. But,
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. I feel how Kat does. It's just like, it's a really like strange feeling. It's a good feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. It's like you feel like you can almost, you know, hold the weight but take the weight off your shoulders at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like you can express yourself, and being able to express yourself and being able to empower other people allows you to live in a happier way, I guess. Instead of being quiet and stuffing your problems down and stuffing the culture's problems down, being able to express them is therapeutic in some ways, because you're able to say, hey, this is what's going on. Who is here and who is going to help me change these issues? Who's going to support me in these issues? And even whenever I find the random people who decide, you know, we're going to not listen to you, oh, that's stupid, whatever. Usually if I can sit down and talk with some of those people, I can change their mind. And bringing those people to the performances, and if they really sit with an open mind and an open heart, it seems like people really start to understand. And it just, I don't know, it feels really good.
I agree with both Kat and Drea. Like, I think that the Vagina Monologues really has just helped me to be more open with who I am and also with who others are, and to be more open-minded, definitely, because I was a very guarded person before I really came into the Vagina Monologues. I was very quiet in new settings, and I didn't like to get involved with people. I was very shy in my own way. but... The Vagina Monologues really taught me, you know, like, you can really go out and express yourself and open yourself up to people, and you're not going to get hurt. Like, you can have conversations with people, even if they have a differing opinion, as Drea said, and they can be still intelligent and respectful conversations. And I think that that was a lesson that just taught me so much, and I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life.
How has performing the Vagina Monologues impacted others?
Do you mean family and friends? Anyone else? I don't
know. Okay. Well, I guess the way that I think there's been the greatest effect on others, as far as people close to me, it has created definitely an open door for them to be able to approach me about violence that maybe they have faced, or about questions they have about exploring sexuality or being okay with it rather than ashamed, being proud of who they are. They know that they can be that person with me. And I think how it has affected our community is that it's created another safe space for women to become educated and for men to be take an active role in preventing gender violence, because men are a part of our crew. And that's a really neat thing, that women and men are creating a solidarity in our community. And I think it's definitely created another door in our sort of small community for self-identification and for sexuality to really be embraced. I think another effect it's had is actually giving people a voice. I know I've heard from many of my friends, women friends, that they don't want to speak out. They feel uncomfortable with it, and it's not because they don't care. It's because they either can't, or they feel like it is just something that somebody else can do for them. So I think that's an effect it's had, is giving them giving other people a voice. So.
The impact on others is always something really hard to see. I know that I've talked to a lot of my male friends after they've come to see the monologues, and the reactions are always really interesting to me. My first year in it, after the monologues, one of my guy friends came up to me and they said, I had absolutely no idea. I had no idea that women in St. Cloud could possibly feel this way. And, like, it completely opened his eyes. He was just like, I look at women in a much different way. He used to look at them as, you know, just kind of being around. They're cute, they're pretty, they're funny, whatever. And now it's like he was able to see a depth that he wouldn't have seen otherwise. And I think that that really does come from the fact that a lot of women are afraid to speak up about, you know, how they feel and the things that they go through. I don't think that it's something that can't be completely, I don't think that it's something that can be completely, you know, shoved under a table. And so I think it just opens a lot of doors and a lot of, like, avenues for both men and women to really think about, you know, what are these problems? And as a social thing, the inability to talk about your problems isn't going to get anybody anywhere. The inability to talk about problems allows these problems to fester, allows these problems to continue to just run rampant in our society. If you never talk about something, you can't know that it's there. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is just the ability to reach out into our community and our culture and our, you know, society in St. Cloud and just say, you know, we don't need to be silent anymore.
I would agree. I think that the biggest way that I've seen it impact is just talking with family and friends. And I see it as it's a conversation starter where people are finally kind of opening up about abuses in the family that they've had been silent about for years and would have kept hidden from one another. And similarly, in my like male family members, it really has opened up their eyes to really see what the female perspective is in these situations and cycles of violence and sexual abuse. Because I think that far too often men don't have a real understanding of what the experience is like. And so for a long time, I can speak from, my dad just told me, you know, you need to get over those experiences. Well, it's not something that you just get over in like a therapy session that you go to in for 6 weeks. It's something that stays with you for a long time when you go through those kinds of events. And I think that it just builds this bridge of understanding between people. When they see the monologues and they see the experience of women, I think men can relate to it a lot better than just maybe hearing about an experience, because seeing the performance somehow makes it real for them in a way that it wasn't in the past. So,
what would you say to someone who's interested in getting involved with the Vagina Monologues?
I would say be prepared to laugh a lot and also face issues that you have with your own identity that maybe you haven't allowed to surface before. But when you face them, you're going to have a cast that can support you, hopefully understand. I'd say go for it, I guess.
For me, I would definitely say, you know, go for it, but really be prepared to do some soul searching. I don't think anybody here on stage can say that they haven't changed because of the monologues, that they haven't realized an issue that they have with themselves, mm-hmm. That they haven't confronted issues. I know that whenever we are a cast sitting around together, it's like there's nothing that somebody can say that somebody else will say, oh, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Or you're just being silly, or you're overreacting. As a cast, I guess we all really, you know, we'll rely on each other, and we know that we're there to support each other through the issues. And a lot of times when you're performing a monologue, you don't even realize that you have that issue until you're in the middle of the performance and you're like, whoa, hang on a second. Like, this is not only a problem in other people's lives, but this is something that, you know, maybe I need to work on myself. And so I guess getting involved, it's a wonderful thing. It's definitely something you have to be prepared for. And it's something that I think that when you come out of it, you feel like you're a better person and a better woman. And you feel, I always feel just completely amazed by the experience every mm-hmm. year.
I'd say go for it. Do it. It's an emotional experience, but you come out of it with so much. You come out of it building relationships with women, and it kind of happens almost by accident. Like, you kind of meet people on your first night of rehearsal, and you don't really talk that much, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, these people are talking about things, and I'm not really, I don't want to know about that, about them and their lives, and you might feel a little bit awkward because, you know, somebody's talking about their sexual experiences on the second night, and you're like, oh my gosh, too much information. But by the time that you actually get to the performances and the performances are done, you feel connected to these women in a way that you probably haven't felt connected to a lot of people in your life, because they've seen you kind of work through whatever it is. Kind of like Drea said, something will confront you while you're going through this experience, and they'll see you work through it, and they'll be the ones who are helping you to manage all of that emotional kind of growth and stress. And it's just wonderful. It's wonderful.
All right, we'd like to open up to the audience if any of you have any questions.
I do.
Yes, Jane?
I'm going to raise the first controversial question. I was involved in a conflict with the current cast this year related to a complaint around racism and exclusion and concerns about one of the monologues. Could you talk about, you know, maybe share a piece of what that issue was, but then talk about from your experience, all of you have mentioned that, you know, you've been changed by it, you've confronted issues. Will you talk about your experience confronting that issue?
I guess kind of what happened, to give a little bit more background, is that one of the pieces was written for a community that doesn't face this sort of hate crimes that we face here in St. Cloud. I know that in the dorms even, one of my good friends lives in Stearns, and they had to have a hall meeting on hate crimes just within their own floor. One of the monologues empowers women's sexuality by doing an African-American moan and a Jewish moan. But as many of you may know, swastikas were drawn all over our campus. This is a serious hate crime that obviously our community has an issue. Like, the fact that these are repeat crimes shows that our community may not be ready to handle kind of making fun of sexuality of people who've been oppressed in our community. It may come off the wrong way. So I know it was difficult for our cast to find a good way to present this, because you're not allowed to alter parts of the scripts. So we definitely had a hard time as a cast this year confronting this issue, especially because of different restrictions that the V-Day presents with us. I guess, what was the second part of your question?
What was your experience in that conflict?
Okay.
You know, how were you changed by that, either empowered or disempowered?
Yeah. Sure. I guess what happened with me is, at first, I felt very empowered. I'm like, great, we can make a change for this. It'll be simple. No big deal. I'm glad that this, you know, issue was brought to our attention. We're going to be able to change this for the better. But it was a lot more complicated than that, and it created a lot of emotional stress, I know, for the directors, and I know for a lot of members of our cast, especially the one who brought it to attention. And I know for me personally, I was really angry. I was angry that we weren't able to present this monologue in its entirety, because it's an empowering monologue. It is a good piece, but it's not written for this community. So I felt really angry, you know, like, why can't my community be at a place to handle this? I know earlier I talked about having to meet the community where it's at, and that being one of my frustrations. I felt so angry. I'm losing track again. I don't know. How it's changed me as a person? Two ways. Number one, it made me realize I can't give a voice to another person, because the person who brought this to attention is a woman of color. I'm not a woman of color, and I can't speak for her experiences, but I can speak for how that monologue affects my perspective on our community and how I feel about its appropriateness. So that's definitely a lesson I had to take from it. Like, do not speak for someone when you are not them and when you do not live in their world.
I guess for me, it was, okay, this was probably one of the hardest issues that our cast has ever had to work mm-hmm. towards or try to resolve since the beginning of this. I completely understand where the cast member is coming from. I understand our community may not be ready for this, but I personally do not feel that it's right to censor something. I don't think that it's something that should be done. I don't think that censorship is going to get anyone anywhere. If we censored what we were doing, we could find reasons to censor every single word out of this. We could find reasons to censor every single empowering thing out of this. When you censor something, you take something away. For me, other people may take this in an inappropriate way. Other people may take the moans in an inappropriate way. I do feel that as a cast, we should have found a way to make it more empowering rather than, you know, let it come off as funny. It's hard to do with that particular piece. I do think that there are ways to get around this without censoring it, though. I think that it's just, I don't know. I feel like if my voice is going to get stuffed back down my throat, I shouldn't have had a voice in the first place.
But, you know, the conflict at that one wasn't your voice. You are not an African-American woman. You do not have a place. Like, this is my perception with the feminist theory that I have read. You do not have a place to say, I can claim a woman of color sexuality. I do not have that place. Only a person of color, when they are feeling comfortable, can they self-identify in a safe space, hopefully, and say, this is my moan as an African-American woman, you know, and really feel that passion and empowerment. But if we are removing that empowerment, we are no longer providing a production for women's empowerment if that empowerment is not there. That, and I guess it wasn't censorship so much as adapting it, which I guess is censorship, but adapting it for our community so that we could really embrace this production as something that would be beneficial for the community.
Well, I don't have a problem with the adaptation. I just think to remove it completely leaves a complete culture out of it. The other thing is we only had one person of color in our cast speaking about this issue.
And I just want to clarify, you only had one person of color on the cast who is now left. So I'm just saying there wasn't other voices to participate.
Yeah, there was only one person of color who we had to base our entire, you know, our entire, like, disjunct in our cast. It was, you know, this one person's view. And I know that not every person of color has that view. I don't have the same view as every, you know, white person. I don't have the same views. Everybody has their own views. And so, for me, catering to her, do I feel sad that she's not comfortable with participating? Yeah, I do. I think that it's terrible. I mean, I never want somebody to feel like they don't have the ability to stand up and to speak. But at the same time, I don't know what other people, what other, you know, women of color are thinking about this issue. I only know that there are some out there who want that voice, who want to be included. So
I would say that it was a very difficult issue. Unfortunately, I wasn't there much of last week when a lot of this stuff really came to a climax because I was in a pretty severe car accident, which kept me kind of out of the loop. But I do know that I personally felt for the way this cast member was feeling about it. I did completely understand it. At the same time, it was unfortunate that we couldn't come to a concession. It was hard to do, though, when given an ultimatum, you take it out or I'm leaving the cast. which was the ultimatum that we were given. And unfortunately, we do not have a place to take those things out. This is Eve Ensler's script, which she has written to be performed around the world. We sign a contract with V-Day, unfortunately, which bars us from doing that. And when you actually talk to V-Day and you talk about the stories where a lot of these pieces came from, it seems like an injustice to the people who were a part of making the script, who were a part of Eve's story in developing the script, to leave things out.
Yes, in front.
Has there already been a piece taken out for this particular performance
here? No, there had not.
Yes, there has been.
In the past, there has been, but as Brianne and I were directors, no.
That's not what happened. When I spoke to the woman who was going to be performing this monologue, she informed me that she had been directed to remove a moan that has not been given license to be removed. I don't know if she had made that decision on her own, but she gave me the idea that you had told her to do that. And then also when we wanted to remove the African-American moan and the Jewish moan, she was very supportive. She empathized with the cast member who has unfortunately left our cast. And she was all for it. She's like, wow, this is a good idea. I'm surprised this issue hasn't been brought up before. The fact is that we have altered the script before, which is grounds for us to get in trouble. But if we are adapting it for our community so that we can better educate our audience, that's great. That's really great. Like, if we can better educate St. Cloud, that's our mission.
The problem is that we can't. I mean, every time that it's been altered in the past, we risk getting shut down. Leaving out one thing, is at grounds for shutting this entire thing down. Mankato doesn't have a V-Day because they left out a part of a monologue and they got shut down.
Actually, they've listed it on their website for this year. They are performing this year.
Yeah, but I mean, they had years in the past where they didn't have it.
Not because of that. Just one last comment I'll make. Not every campus does it every year. So, again, I have no idea what the background is at MSU Mankato, but it is on their front page of their website, through their Women's Center website. They are performing this year.
Did someone in the back have some?
I have a question. I can tell there isn't that much diversity being on stage. And I was curious, you talk about stories about women of color. What do you do as a researcher that you don't fit the stereotypes that are out there about Asian Americans or African or African Americans? What research do you do so when you present these stereotypes that don't come out there?
What we do as a cast, I guess we've always been instructed to do, is don't try to represent someone you're not. Instead, read it like you're reading it yourself. Like, you're telling their story, but you're not trying to say you're saying their own words. Does that make sense? So,
sort of, but I'm curious, you mean you talk about really deep issues like comfort women?
Yes.
I want to know, do you not understand, do you not, like, for someone who doesn't know comfort women, or how Japanese women or Korean women, or they face, or how they are behaved? I mean, Korean women at that time were quiet,
I know that I did research. I read, it was sort of a textbook, but it was a personal novel also because memoirs were included in it, on comfort women before doing that piece for the first. I guess I have never personally done research on the behavior of another woman because I would be afraid of trying to emulate it when that isn't my own characteristics. You know, that makes sense, though.
As a director, I know that I've read a few of the novels of the experience of comfort women, and I also studied it in my women's studies class. And so, obviously, I can't, as a white American, completely say this is exactly how an Asian woman would feel. But I did try to direct them in a way that the kind of angry American kind of I don't know, out there in your face kind of feminists that we have in our society from the past, you know, 100 years, that's something that wouldn't be there. And unfortunately, on the night when this became an issue, I had a migraine and I wasn't there. But before that, I had been directing them that no, this was not an appropriate way to react to that situation.
One of the things, whenever I listen to the Comfort Women piece, I understand the culture. I mean, I have, you know, looked into the culture. But one of the things that I do think about is how do they feel, not how their culture tells them to act. Because this is about feeling. It is about, it's about being able to express yourself despite your cultural circumstances. It's about being able to do that. And even though the culture would say, you know, the woman is soft-spoken, I do think that that does need to be addressed. I do. But at the same time, I have no right to say how she feels. I can only know how I would feel in that situation. And so it is something that is very hard. Mm-hmm. Because it's so much about empowering, despite culture saying that you should be quiet, despite culture saying that you should not do this. I mean, worldwide, this movement is about speaking out. And so how culture plays into how you would have a piece is really an artistic, you know, it's something that is artistic direction, how the pieces are done. I mean, each year our pieces change depending on who's doing the piece.
And I should say that even in the director's notes, they are very specific about how we should direct each piece. V-Day really does try to take as much control as possible with how these are performed. Do you want to add to that at all?
I can't recall anything specific at the moment, but I do know. I mean, yeah, we did.
They are very specific.
The director's notes, and they are very specific.
Like, even a particular line will be noted, like, do not say in a sarcastic tone. Do not make this sound too angry. Like, they're so detailed in the way that they want these to be portrayed, because this is not acting, which is a big thing that they really stress to us. We are not trying to act out these women's lives. We are just giving the stories themselves a voice. You're reciting them as a recitation, not as acting as actors.
Yes.
Historically, women of color, you know, back, you know, in this country, have experienced gender violence ever since history began. What has been your effort to outreach to women of color on this campus to be part of the Vagina Monologues?
This is actually my first year directing. This was my first year being involved in auditions, and I guess I didn't realize that there's more to outreach than putting up flyers around campus. That was the effort that we took for auditions to get women involved. We just distributed flyers through the residence halls and through buildings on campus, and the Women's Center helped with that too, with getting the word out. But I guess I didn't think about approaching on-campus groups or of, you know, diverse groups. I guess I didn't think about that for auditions this year. But our cast member who has left recommended that for next year that we do approach, before auditions, approach groups and outreach and say, hey, I think this is a good thing that you should join, and be more intentional rather than just putting up flyers and hoping that whoever shows up. So that's definitely something that I'm going to do next year. Were there any other questions?
When you talk about, you said our culture, you talk about time and not the out culture. How much of that is really white culture?
When I think of our culture, I think of whenever I say that, I think of the broad culture, the over umbrella culture of St. Cloud, that includes the diverse groups, that includes all of that. Whenever individual cultures and come together to create a larger culture, a larger picture. I don't think of, you know, just white culture, I guess. I don't like to think that I only live in a white world. I don't like to think that our culture, saying our culture, referring to my culture, is referring only to the white culture. I like to think of it as encompassing all of the culture in the area, encompassing everyone and everything that is in my life, everything that impacts me. I guess our culture, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a very idealistic thing.
Right, but you realize that you are a cast of white women.
I know.
So you are going to portray the white culture.
Yeah.
Just as artistic.
I know.
And I guess I just feel kind of sad that it has come to this point. I am Azania's mother, and I came here specifically to hear you. I hear both sides, and I think there is some denial that you are going through. I'm also sad that you're still, you're in a learning stage, and I appreciate that. I appreciate what Kat was saying. But there's still a lot more that you will need to journey. You know, I speak as a very strong community woman. I am 61. I've been in this community 20 years. I've seen what white privilege has done. I am concerned about white privilege coming from white women. And this is something that you all four and the cast has to realize at some point. And the pain that brings to women of color by not including them, intentionally or unintentionally. You have to look at your cast and say, where and what is missing?
Were there any other questions?
I'd like to thank you for coming for Azania.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you as well.
See the Vagina Monologues Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. in Ritchie Auditorium.